listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. So, listen, we are going to the phones right now to bring on a friend of mine who's been on the show before, State Representative Charlotte Meadows. She represents House District 74, which is down in the Montgomery region, and she has been in the legislature now for about 2 years, I believe, and she's also, by the way, she's got her MBA from Auburn, or undergrad from South Alabama. She is a business manager for an asthma clinic in the past, or still presently, I believe, but she's also founded a charter school, because where I got to know Charlotte was before she was in the legislature. She was a very active school choice advocate and good at what she did, and we're glad to have her on the show. Charlotte Meadows, how are you?
Hey, Senator Williams, good to hear from you, Phil.
Absolutely,
and listen,
you too.
I'm excited about your... Oh, man, I'm sorry. My phone keeps on ringing, and so that's going to make it hard for you to hear me.
That's okay. You were saying something?
I'm just going to keep clicking that, and I'll call you back button. Y'all've got a brand new 1819 news. That's awesome.
We do. And it is, yeah, API is, the Alabama Policy Institute is very committed to be able to verbalize the conservative message and the true news, you know, to call the balls and strikes. We're not going to just go straight slant, but it's going to be balls and strikes, and that's the way it should be, because we don't have that much in Alabama right now.
I just subscribed, so hopefully I'll start getting regular updates.
Outstanding. Well, listen, Charlotte, you're down in Montgomery, I think, today for a caucus meeting, and they're going through the machinations of finally getting the maps out where the world can see them. So the world needs to understand that we're redrawing congressional, state house, state senate, and school board districts based on census data, which has been late coming, but nonetheless, it's even later now getting this out. Tell us where we are right now on redistricting.
I realize it was late coming, but that does not excuse the fact that this has been a complete travesty of a process, in my opinion, and not transparent, no accountability from anywhere. And actually, what you said, we've got the maps. No, we really just have pictures of the maps.
Oh, and okay.
There's a difference, because if all you've got is a picture, you can't drill down and see really what's what. It's just it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, and it's a great point, Charlotte. I mean, I'm looking at one of the pictures right now. I'm looking at one of the pictures right now, Charlotte. And like, for instance, I can see that Etowah County, which was in the district that I served in the state Senate, it's still whole and intact. But you're right. For someone like you that has a metropolitan area that's split up, you have to go down to street level to see where your actual lines are, don't you?
I need to, and I can't. So,
well,
I mean, I've seen what they, I've seen the precincts, and I can tell from the precincts and the demographics of the precincts that I've got a Democrat district now. And that's very disturbing to me as a Republican who is in a majority Republican caucus.
Well, and I see that too. And Charlotte, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to pull punches here, because I know that there's only one state legislator who has literally been in lawsuits with the teachers union, and you're the only state legislator I know of who's having your district redrawn that's less friendly to you as the incumbent, which is unreal.
I agree with you. The process has been very difficult. I was first shown my map about four weeks ago. Honestly, I was not given an opportunity to have any input into it. They heard my concerns and complaints loudly, and no changes have been made. And now and for the last week or so, I've been hearing that we're going to take care of it, we're going to fix it. That hasn't happened. Clearly now it's going to be a much harder lift to make that change so that I'm in a Republican seat. And so now then the question becomes, do I run again next year or not?
Well,
that is going to ultimately be the question. We're not to the answer yet.
That to me would be a significant loss, because you're one of the only people that will consistently bring school choice legislation to the floor of the House, and so I would hate to see that loss. But let me ask you something. I mean, we know that the real deal is supposed to be that the lines are redrawn in accordance to, I mean, there's some demographics, but for the most part, it's population shift. So what are they telling you right now? Because I've seen the picture of your map, and it's a significant redraw. Yours is not looking at all like it used to. So has there been that much of a population shift in your district?
No. The population shift, I lost about 500 people over the last 10 years. Reed Ingram had picked up 12,000, and he's in Pike Road. So he and I had talked back in the spring and said, okay, we'll just move me further east. But what they did was completely delete all of my East Montgomery precincts. They've given those East Montgomery precincts to Ken Hassel, who's a Democrat, and the seat that Thad McClammy was in, who's not even, I mean, his daughter Penny is running, but she's not even elected yet. So my Republicans have been moved into Democrat seats. In fact, I realized a few minutes ago, all of Glen Lakes is going to be in a Democrat district. And wow. You don't know that much about Montgomery, but Glen Lakes is a very Republican neighborhood, and it is definitely a community of interest.
So when you look at this kind of thing, Charlotte, I mean, I look at it, it's maddening to me that you as the legislator are getting late-breaking news about your own district. I don't think that should be ever the case. And it was not the case, by the way, when I was in. I mean, they would ask for give and take. Hey, Phil, we gotta chase the population. It looks like you may have to lose some here, lose some over there. How do you feel about that? And I was allowed to have input. In the end, it had to be demographic and population-driven. But still, it still made sense to me. It was one of those things that I saw right. It coming, and I was able to have the conversations 6 months or more in advance. And you're saying that maybe weeks in advance you got to see it, and then they began to assure you, and yet the assurances have not panned out. Have they given you an excuse for why the assurances did not pan out?
My understanding is that they felt like this was a legal problem, that they needed to draw my district to be a majority black district, and those are their words, not mine. But in order to meet the Jingles threshold of the Voting Rights Act. But then once they realized how they'd drawn it, they didn't feel comfortable in making changes to make it more of a Republican district. But my district didn't change. They changed my district, and I hope you understand the difference. I mean, what you said about the precincts and the footprint, it's just completely, instead of going east-west, it's now north-south. And yeah. That's the easiest way I can explain it for anybody who's not aware of the precincts in Montgomery County.
Well, so I, you know, I'll be honest with you, and you know the deal too. When you're down in Montgomery, you get tired of people always on the outside saying it's conspiracy, it's corruption, there's all these things happening, and you're down there and you realize you're working with a whole lot of the folks down there are good people. And so I'm usually reluctant to jump to conspiracy. But I also know where you are in relation to the teachers union. Is there any indication that this was throwing the teachers union a bone to get rid of their biggest enemy in the state house? Is there anything on the table that makes you think that?
Other than the fact that I'd heard a rumor that was going to happen, and the fact that it did happen solidifies the fact that it was not a rumor but a fact. And so I don't have any evidence at all. I don't have any smoking gun or paper, you know, trail showing money changing hands or anything like that. But the teachers union, this is not the first time they've fought me. But I have won in the past.
Yes, you have.
And I'm not beat yet.
Yes, you have. And no, you're not. That's exactly right. Well, let me ask you, what's your recourse right now within the special session? Do you feel like there's any sympathy, any ability to garner support among the body that could help you in this process?
I think it's a uphill climb, but it's possible. We start Thursday. We go in and gavel in at 4 o'clock. Then there's a committee meeting on Friday, which Chris Pringle's the chair of the state government committee, and he's already said, yes, I can come and speak to his committee. So I definitely will do that. Invite anybody in Montgomery County that wants to come. They're welcome. It's a public meeting down at the State House. Evidently, we're going to meet in room 200. And then we'll see if I can get the committee to agree to a substitute or amendment or something that would save my district. And then it becomes a matter of politics, and I'll see how many friends I've got. And, of course, if I get it through the committee, then it'd probably be much easier to just go on Monday with going through the floor, but
Well, and
it's going to be a long week.
It's going to be a long week. You've had an uphill climb. I mean, sister, you went into a runoff in a special election to get this seat in the first place, didn't you?
Yep, and won it. Yeah. 68-32. So
I know.
That's so frustrating is, I mean, I just won the seat. I've just really learned the process and the people and built the relationships and was really looking forward to running again to have a 4-year term. And, you know, obviously the fourth year, this coming year, is usually not an easy one to get a lot of major stuff done. But, you know, if it's my last year, let's just watch and see what I try to do.
Well,
that's not a threat to anybody that's listening. I'm just saying. You know, I need to have a legacy, and if I've only got 3 years to get it done, then
well, by golly, there it is.
COVID, so I really didn't get anything done that year.
No, nobody did. It looked like. Well, listen, Charlotte, would you mind hanging on during the break? We got to take a short break, and then I'd like to keep on this conversation. Maybe get your thoughts too on the question of whether or not the legislature will address vaccine mandates at all. We'll take a short break and be right back. That's Representative, State Representative Charlotte Meadows, represents House District 74, someone I've known for a number of years, and I served in Alabama legislature, and she was an advocate for school choice, and now she's actually in office. She's one of our greatest allies when it comes to school choice in the State House, and her district is being threatened by a pretty questionable means of redrawing the lines. I find it disturbing, disconcerting, and just plain wrong. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, and we will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We are here every day, 2 to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday on WVNN and live online at rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org, just click listen live, and no matter where you is, there we is. All right, we're going back to the phone with my friend, State Representative Charlotte Meadows, serves in House District 64 or 74 down in the Montgomery area, talking about redistricting, special session, and so, Charlotte, let me ask you a question. This has been a hot topic today on the show because Governor Ivey issued an executive order yesterday regarding vaccine mandates. Many people are believing that it was somewhat hollow, that it didn't really accomplish much. It did potentially protect executive branch employees, but it did not seem to address much else in terms of the protection of jobs in the state. Do you feel like the legislature has got any growing sentiment to do something from the legislative side? Did we lose Charlotte?
You hear me?
I got you now, yeah.
Okay. So I saw it come out, and I thought, oh, good, she's doing something. And then I read it, and I thought, not much. So, you know, the vaccine passport mandate ban that we had passed back in May already included a bunch of people, but it didn't say anything about employees, employers. And that's what, I mean, she's made some comments about, but, I mean, like Auburn University, still mandating employees get vaccinated.
Right.
And students, if they work for the university. So, you know, in a day and age, in a year when we're fighting to keep people working because of, you know, there's just not enough employees out there, and we're at such low unemployment, why in the world the federal government would be doing this, and why our state isn't? I mean, I know we're doing some things to fight back, and I appreciate her executive order, but I don't think it has the weight of a law that the legislature would pass.
Well, so do you see anything coming? Is there been any discussion that you know of that says the legislature may address this, whether in special session or otherwise?
I'm sure it'll come in January. I don't know that we've got the ability to get it done this week. I know Representative Pringle was very unhappy about the idea of adding anything to this week's special, because he's wanting to get the job done, which obviously is important. We have to get our redistricting and reapportionment done. But I'm sure we're going to deal with something in January, but I'm not sure that's soon enough. I mean, these employers will have already mandated, and if somebody doesn't do it, they'll have fired or had them resign or whatever they enforce. And that's just so wrong.
It is wrong.
Put somebody's job at stake over a medical decision. I can't. I mean, this is just such an Orwellian nightmare that we're in.
Well, it is, and that is very disturbing. And during the last break, by the way, I was one member of the legislature, and I won't say who, but one member of the legislature was emailing me proposed language for a bill, and I was giving him some thoughts on it and sending it back. You know, I still work at the Alabama Policy Institute. We deal with a lot of policy issues. We see that. I mean, one of the simplest ways of dealing with this, I think, is exactly what the Attorney General called for recently, which is saying that employers shall give a religious or a medical exemption for those who ask for it, period. That the employer won't try to decide if it's religious. They'll just say, oh, you asked for it? Okay, you get it. Because we're seeing right now, even breaking news today, Charlotte, up here in North Alabama, there's a company called United Launch Alliance. It has 185 employees that have not been vaccinated yet. And many of them are saying, I asked for a religious exemption. I'm Catholic. I don't like this. And they said no. And so, I mean, that's basically an employer getting in between the priest and the parishioner, if you know what I mean. And that's just wrong. And I think you could fix that very easily, legislatively.
I was going to say, I like the language. If all you have to do is ask and you shall receive, you know.
That's great. And you are a person of faith, and I know that. Well, listen, Charlotte, thank you for dialing in today. I am bugged by what I'm hearing about your district because we need you and folks like you in Montgomery. So I want you to keep us posted on how this plays out.
I'm
and if we can fuss about it, we will.
Well,
you know
I'm
what?
We're going to keep fighting. We're not giving up.
The well, maybe.
Story
maybe
hasn't been written, and even if next week comes and I have a district that I don't like, that still doesn't mean that's the end of Charlotte medicine.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, I know that for a fact. You are not defined as a person or your mission in life by whether or not your district is easy to get elected in. In fact, you know what? You've been a fighter so long. Why stop fighting now, right?
That's true. I don't know what I'd do if I just had an easy road.
I mean, if it was easy, everybody'd do it, right? Well,
correct.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you. Keep us posted, and we appreciate you calling in today. Thank you much.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
You too. That's State Representative Charlotte Meadows. She is truly someone who, if you want to see school choice in this state, if you believe we have to do more than just the status quo that's got us ranked number 50 in the nation, she's one of those who believes it, acts upon it, is willing to go to court to fight it, is willing to help start a charter school on her own. And I'm just telling you, people, the idea that she's getting drawn out, I find that very suspicious. All right, folks, going to open up the phone lines, 866-494-9866, 866-494-9866. You want to call in and talk about today, any part of what we've talked about, let's open those phone lines up. I want to hear from you, 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back.